John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It's the Early Line on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside right here on Sports Grid. Again, a lot to get to over these 2 hours on this Monday morning. DRS, how you feeling?
Feeling good today. New week, new money, as we like to say. And also, let's remind ourselves this week, NFL Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and next Monday. So certainly look forward to that as well. And also an NFL game on deck for us tonight.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. We start, though, with everything that the weekend offer us, including Sunday Night Football, where Justin Herbert and Tua Tagovailoa, two of the top picks just a couple of years ago, were going head-to-head, and, well, the results were quite different. Justin Herbert, 39 of 51, 367 passing yards, compared to Tua Tagovailoa's 10 for 28. And 145 passing yards. You'd almost ask yourself, oh, wow, the Chargers were awful again on the ground. Did Mostert and Jeff Wilson get wild for 150, 175? No. No, they also ran for less than 100 yards of offense on the ground. The Miami Dolphins awful in this game, 23-17. I feel like it doesn't really tell the whole story here. The Dolphins were a hard watch on Sunday night. The Chargers get above 500.
Yeah, back-to-back weeks here. Now the Miami Dolphins struggling out on the West Coast, 17 points, and another fluke play for the Miami Dolphins, which gave them a long touchdown because Tyreek Hill is the fastest player in the field. They probably should have turned it over on that play. 10 of 20, I believe he was 3 of 17 at one point, to Tua Tagovailoa. Mm-hmm. Not good enough here. And now the questions start to pop up, Kevin. How good are the Miami Dolphins? And we'll cover that later.
Yeah, we certainly will, and I towards next week. They're going to play the Buffalo Bills, so they're definitely going to have an opportunity to answer that question. We also did see the battle between San Francisco and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, two of the top teams in the odds market in the NFC, but only one looked the level. The Niners dominated Tampa Bay pretty much right out of the gate, 35-7. It started with a Deebo Samuel rushing touchdown, and Deebo, really the only down note here for the Niners, did exit this game with an ugly ankle injury.
Yeah, high ankle sprain is what it looks at here. Thank goodness it's not that knee injury, so probably a high probability, since the 49ers probably going to make the playoffs, that he will be back. But also, let's keep this in mind. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if you have a decent front four that can get a little bit of pressure, you will buckle the Buccaneers. Just remind yourself of that. When the Bucs make the playoffs, hey, it's Tom Brady, and they're in the playoffs at under 500. Wait till a team with a semi-pass rush like the Dallas Cowboys or the Eagles line up against them. They will wreck that football team.
Brock Purdy averaged 8.8 yards per pass. Tom Brady averaged 4.6 yards per pass, picked off twice by the San Francisco 49ers. The Niners are back in action Thursday against Seattle, who had an ugly performance against Carolina. We'll see how healthy the Niners are going into that game. You mentioned the Dallas Cowboys, and well, boy, the Dallas Cowboys get to have a little bit of an easier morning, but a win still certainly nothing to brag about when you are a 17.5-point favorite and need a 2-minute drive to go down and just narrowly avoid being upset by the Houston Texans in your own building. But a win is a win, I guess. 27-23, the Cowboys moved to 10-3.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, we were told that a double-digit win on a Thursday night road game by the Philadelphia Eagles over the Houston Texans was disaster, and they didn't play anybody. And yesterday, we had that gutsy performance by the Dallas Cowboys over the Texans. That shows you Dak Prescott's got the goods here. Now, granted, 98-yard touchdown driver to end the game is very good. You never should have been in that position here. That is an awful football team that actually outplayed the Dallas Cowboys.
Radio audience is here on this Monday morning, the early line SiriusXM channel 159. We'll talk about what we take away from the Dallas Cowboys and narrowly avoiding an upset as a 17.5 point favorite in their own building. We'll also talk about some of the top quarterbacks in football and the two top choices for the MVP candidate. That'd be Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes. Jalen Hurts, 3 total touchdowns, 77 yards on the ground, 217 in the air as the Eagles beat the Giants 48-22. Absolute domination. Pat Mahomes, comparable story, 352 passing, chipped in with another 3 touchdowns. He did, though, Donnie, throw 3 interceptions in this football game.
Yeah, this was a 27-0 game late in the first half that turned into a last possession for the Denver Broncos where they could have taken a lead, but a deflection there turned into an interception. An interesting game nonetheless that also saw Russell Wilson duck out of that with a concussion, and who knows if he's even going to come back the rest of this year.
Again, just a surprising number there. Pat Mahomes, 3 picks in the game. Jalen Hurts, 3 picks the entirety of this season. Something to consider in that race. The Detroit Lions handled the Minnesota Vikings. Jared Goff lights this team up, 330 passing yards for 3 passing touchdowns, as the Vikings cement themselves as the most fraudulent team in the history of fraudulent teams.
I think everybody saw this one coming. All you had to do was be a line reader to say, this doesn't make any sense. Yeah, you guessed it. It did make a lot of sense, and Detroit was the better football team yesterday. Kudos to the Lions fighting for a playoff spot now.
Maybe it did make sense because, again, the Minnesota Vikings are absolutely terrible. The World Cup semifinal is set. We're going to have some action today. Argentina will play Croatia. On the other side of it, the defending World Cup champions, France, will play Morocco. And we got the Heisman announcement this weekend. USC quarterback Caleb Williams, Donnie, walks away as the Heisman Trophy winner.
As he should have. And also, can we get a little bit more hype around the Heisman here? Felt like I just found that on social media. Like, oh yeah, that show was tonight. Used to be a monster deal. Hopefully return to that in the future.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Los Angeles Chargers and the Miami Dolphins head-to-head on a Sunday night. A 3.5-point line in favor of Miami was one that both Donnie and I questioned on the Friday Breakdown show with you, as it suggested the Chargers were still unhealthy. Well, Mike Williams, 6-for-116 and a touchdown. Keenan Allen, 12-for-92. Those guys certainly made a difference, but we'll get to those guys and what it means to see them out there playing a really good football game. The Dolphins were disastrous. The 17 points is a godsend. Almost all basically can be given credit to Tyreek Hill. He scooped and scored a fumble that his own offense had made and returned it 57 yards in a play that only really Tyreek Hill could accomplish. Then a 60-yard receiving touchdown on a deep ball that went about 20-ish yards and Tyreek did the rest on. As you mentioned off the top, there was a point where Tua in this game was 3-for-17. Impossible. Just impossible. And here's the thing. Tua's had himself a really nice season. But the elite quarterbacks do not go 3-for-17. I don't remember ever seeing a Pat Mahomes 3-for-17 or a Josh Allen 3-for-17. Not at this point in the career. Not when people are asking me, hey, is he a legitimate MVP candidate? Right? This is not year one, Tua, year two, Tua. It's a different equation here. People don't like to overreact, though. So you tell me where you land on Miami Dolphins' 6-point loss here on a Sunday night, and more importantly, how the Dolphins looked in this game.
Yeah, who are the Miami Dolphins now? Like, you're right. They played some bad football teams here and racked up a lot of points, which is what you're supposed to do. You're not going to get any bonus points off that, but when you look at that game, you're not going to take anything away from the Dolphins. Like, heck, even against the Houston Texans, when they dropped 30 in the first half, put their starters on ice here, it was still a wonderful offensive performance for a complete game, even though, Kevin, it was only a half of a game. But this game also lined up the same way the Miami Dolphins did when they punched, 4 straight games over 30 points. I said, wow, The Chargers defense already struggles. They have Khalil Mack and nothing else now on defense. And it seemed like the Chargers defense dictated this entire game. Now, also, when you're watching Tua Tagovailoa, most of us have watched Tua quite a few times here. Yesterday was one of those games where I don't know if it was who he was matched up against, because the rivalry between Justin Herbert and Tua Tagovailoa, rightfully so, who drafted what? You know, one guy goes, Tua Tagovailoa goes one step ahead of one pick ahead of Justin Herbert. But when you watch them side by side last night, Tua's passes, yes, if I'm a wide receiver, I love it because it's so soft, he catches it like a pillow. But yet, there's going to be trajectory issues here when you got to fit a ball in a tight space where a guy's not wide open, where you can just loft him the football. You saw yesterday, Justin Herbert, 39 of 51 for 367. Every time he threw a pass, it was a rocket laser beam and felt like it was right on target. I felt like I was watching two different, you know, outcomes at this point here. When I look at Herbert on offense, wow, this guy really stands in the pocket tall and has a rocket for an arm. Okay, Tua, a little bit of gamesmanship, roll around the pocket, try to find one of your wide receivers for a 7-yard pass, 10-yard pass, 20-yard pass, and see if they can take it the distance. But I got to tell you, Tua Tagovailoa, 10 for 28 yesterday for 145 and one score. That's unacceptable with that performance. And that leaves a lot to be desired with the Dolphins moving forward, because there was a time for over the last month, like, wow, can the Miami Dolphins really challenge the Buffalo Bills? Can the Dolphins do a lot of damage? Nobody wants to face the Miami Dolphins in the playoffs with that offense. Well, that's back-to-back weeks on the road where they were horrendous.
And for the Miami Dolphins, you've heard now a lot made on the broadcast, maybe heading into the game, the press coverage approach. And that is obviously a bit concerning if you're the Miami Dolphins. Oh no, have we been figured out? This idea, as teams, and it makes sense, right? I'm not pressing Tyreek Hill. That's one shake and gone. And that's 75-yard touchdowns, play after play after play. But if you play the right coverage, and credit to Brandon Staley, see, man of integrity, man of honesty, right? Credit to Brandon Staley, they executed a great game plan here on Sunday night. But for the Dolphins, these last 2 weeks could end up being a true blessing for you. Finding out you have a weakness and not finding that out when it's too late in the middle of a playoff game. They now have something that they need to work on. And if Mike McDaniel is the head coach that a lot of us believe he is, then he will be able to make some adjustments. And this Saturday in Buffalo is certainly one spot to try and figure out if they're going to be able to make those adjustments. The thing for the Miami Dolphins, though, as we watch this and we think through the season that they've had, is are the Dolphins of the level of the rest of the top teams in the AFC? And that's what this Buffalo game to me is going to be about. Sometimes I'm ready to draw through line conclusions. The Vikings beat the Buffalo Bills, and I've never been more sure a team was a fraud. Never been more sure. And we've seen how that's played out. I'm not there yet with Miami. I need to see this game against Buffalo. I need to see how they're able to adjust. They're not a tier one team. That's the Chiefs, the Bengals, and the Bills. That's tier one. You could argue the Baltimore Ravens. But are the Dolphins better than the Chargers? Here in this game, they were certainly not. Again, this final score has really done a lot to make this look kinder than it actually was. This easily could have been 23-3, and it would have been an earned box score for the Miami Dolphins. So let's get to the Chargers. I mentioned the performances of Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, combining for 18 catches, over 200 yards, and a touchdown. And I think a lot of people are going to say, in games that Mike Williams and Keenan Allen start and finish, the Chargers are 2-0. And there's a group of people that'll say, see, that's impressive. 100% win percentage. It's pretty appropriate that their initials are LAC, just like the Clippers. We do this every year with the Clippers. Man, they're 10-3 when Kawhi and PG play. Folks, there's 82 games and they played 13. That doesn't sound very good. The Chargers have played 13 games and their top two weapons have played together twice. That sounds like a problem. The Chargers have been injured forever. Yes, I understand there's a lot of talent on this roster, but the talent is never on the field. It's just on the roster. I cannot sit here and flip around and now just trust that the Chargers stay healthy. It's not like Mike Williams missed a month and is just now back. No, Mike missed a month, came back, got injured again. Keenan Allen missed a month, came back, got injured again. Odds are, if they even make the playoffs, Donnie, one of these two won't be out there for the game.
Yeah, you're probably not trying to prognosticate based on that because you still want to give them a little bit of upside. That's a very good offense. Like when Austin Eckler, those two wide receivers are working, and Justin Herbert, and they can pretty much tangle with anybody, as you saw last night. But also, let's keep in mind, it was a pretty good defensive effort. And Brandon Staley, somebody brought up a good point on the telecast last night that Brandon Staley used to seeing Tyreek Hill maybe a way to try to defend them because they did a very good job against that. And the takeaway from this game for me is maybe more the upside for the Chargers than the downside of the Miami Dolphins. A bad football team. And you're right, looking forward to the Buffalo Bills game, Kevin. Here's the tough part about it. You already had back-to-back road games. Now you're going to play on a Saturday, which is a little bit shorter, so you fly back to Miami. And also, you're not going to play in Miami conditions. 25 degrees with snow in the forecast and winds above 16 miles an hour. So me looking at that game going, hey, Tua, that's perfect conditions, man. You're throwing lollipops out there. Good luck next week going in because the one thing you're going to need against the Buffalo Bills is a running game. And also you saw one of the running backs last night for the Miami Dolphins go down. So maybe injuries are popping up as a factor to them. But also you are right. We're going to get caught up in the Chargers hype because when the defense comes back around and Bosa's added to the opposite end of Khalil Mack and you get Derwin James back and Callahan as one of your corners, we're going to be saying, hey, anybody can beat it with the Chargers, but maybe the Chargers will end up just like the Chargers. But last night, the takeaway here, it's a lot of people out there, Herbert versus Tua Tagovailoa. I'm sorry. It's Justin Herbert by a mile with his arm talent.
Yeah, I mean, and that's we don't bring that here too much because it's not like they're going to offer you a bet, hey, who's going to win a poll vote between Herbert and Tua, but
yeah.
That was a clown show. That was a clown show. Social media quarterback, look, he's going to wear that. He's a clown. He doesn't know what he's doing. We don't need to embrace that nonsense here. But yes, for anybody that needed clarification, Herbert is significantly better.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on Sports Grid, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers made a trip to San Francisco as a 3.5-point underdog. The San Francisco 49ers, on the opening drive of the game, put 7 on the board. Tampa Bay was in trouble. Tampa then did what they always do. Nice little opening drive. End result, though, stalled out, of course. Field goal, and then they went to sleep, like they always do. Shut out in the first half, found the garbage time touchdown. Brady was out there throwing to the very last because when you're trying to put record books out of reach, there's no reason to let Blaine Gabbert get reps. So you might as well throw it 55 times to see if there's anything else you can make of this day here. 35-7. The Niners dominated the Bucs, absolutely smashed this team. And it's not a surprise that we are at this point in the season where the losses are as relevant as the wins. Chargers, Dolphins. The way Miami looked feels like a bigger story than LA. Here in this game, maybe you don't agree. We'll talk about both sides, but it feels like the way the Bucs looked, Donnie, is the story of this game because they looked awful and it was on both sides of the football.
Yes, and the main person who looks more awful than everybody is Tom Brady. How many throws did he miss yesterday? Forget about the final score, Kevin. Let's take two plays. The one where Mike Evans on fourth down ran wide open and you hit him in the back foot with an awful throw. And he did a couple of these last week. And then Scotty Miller blows by his guy by 5 yards. And Tom Brady can't even lead him out there and throws the ball off the back of the defender scrambling to try to get back into place. Just a microcosm of the game. And also, Byron Leftwich turned down the Jacksonville Jaguars job. Like, it was his to take, and he's like, nah, you know what, I'm good. There's better opportunities out here. He might never get another opportunity with the way this is calling. And also, what is Tampa Bay doing? It's clear to everybody who watches, and maybe this is going to be the easiest thing, where I always say, Kevin, just get a 4-man pass rush, any pass rush out there on Tom Brady, and it's over. Why are we throwing 55 times with Tom Brady? Why is the game plan not changing? If you know your offensive line can't block or can't pass protect, I should say, and a quarterback that can't move in the pocket, why are you not protecting them? Like, if Brian Daboll was the head coach of Tampa Bay and said, you know what, this is what I have to work with here. Yeah, we're going to run the ball at least 35 times in the game to slow this down, give our defense a breather, and maybe Tom Brady can work off a play action and get more than 1.2 seconds to throw a football before the actual pocket collapses. With Tom Brady, I don't. Maybe it's a mandate from Brady. Like, hey, you know, look, you're right. I'm just all about records now. We stink right now. Let me just throw 60 times to make sure I get around 250 yards and maybe a touchdown pass. That's all I want to do. But the same thing I'm watching, Kevin, week to week to week with the Buccaneers is they can't pass block, and Tom Brady is scared to death, can't get out of the way, and his arm talent is nowhere near what it was even 2 years ago. What is going on, Tampa Bay? Run the football.
They can't run the football. They're the worst rushing offense in football by a country mile. That's not an option. That's not on the table. So, of course, he threw the ball 55 times when they trailed the whole way.
Rashad White has been decent, though. I don't care if you give him 25 carries. Now, Leonard Fournette is running with concrete around his ankles. I understand that. He's out the door now. Rashad White has been running very well over the past couple weeks. Make him the centerpiece of your offense.
I mean, look, you want to go Rashad White centerpiece of the offense? You can. I don't really think that sounds like a saving grace. It's not like this front line here can run block either. And again, they lost by a billion. So, of course, all they were really doing was throwing. The game was 28-0 at half. It's not surprising that that's how many times you had to throw the ball when you're trying to see if you can make something happen. But I think this game is Tampa Bay takes a step up in competition, right? Which Tampa, again, playing in this NFC South, they've not had to do all that much, right? It's not just that the Bucs offense is a complete disaster, which, again, it has been clear for a little while now. 13 games, 12 team total unders. 12 of 13. I mean, you are printing money if you bet this team total under week in and week out. It was 16.5 this week. You didn't even sweat it. There wasn't even a moment in the game where they had the football and you were in line to lose that bet. It is unbelievable. But here's the other problem for Tampa Bay. Defense overrated too, isn't it? Defense is overrated. Got off to a real hot start the opening 3 weeks. Step up in Kansas City. Here's 41 points for you. Then they played Marcus Mariota, Kenny Pickett / Trubisky. Trubisky lit them up, by the way. P.J. Walker, who also kind of lit them up. Then they ran into the Ravens. Best the Ravens offense has looked, you know, within a 8-week window, maybe, 27 points. Then they played the absolutely broken L.A. Rams. They did a nice job against Seattle. Okay. Jacoby Brissett, they gave up 23. They lost the football game. They played Dalton last week. And then Brock Purdy and the Niners just gave them 35. The idea around Tampa Bay, the scary Tampa Bay destined to win a football game, Tom Brady destined to go on another run, is that the defense would keep them in all these games, and then Tom will figure it out in the fourth. The defense isn't going to keep them in games against elite competition. You've been talking about their game next week against Cincinnati since we watched last week's football. If the Bengals don't score 28 points, it would be pretty surprising. And if they score 28 points, the Bucs might as well take a bye week and see if they can get healthy wherever it is they find themselves to be injured. Because this team has scored 28 points once this year, and it was all in garbage time when they allowed 41 to the Kansas City Chiefs. This team does not look top 10 on defense, which is a nightmare considering this is a bottom five offense in football.
It certainly is. And also, by the way, next week against the Bengals, I don't even care that the Bengals are coming in banged up, maybe down two wide receivers and one of your better pass rushers here. I don't even think it's going to make a difference here, but it all comes down to Tampa Bay. When you look at their offense, you're right. What is their ceiling? And if they're continually locked, we joked about it too, Kevin. Remember 16.5, 17 for the in the 49ers game as their team total. Normally you say Tom Brady, 17 points. Yeah, for the 49ers score, Tom Brady's going to be able to. I'm like, man, we don't even have to get to 7 points. And they actually got to 7 points. We weren't really joking or even being facetious at this point because you can see things coming down the line and where they would struggle. Hey, they're going to load up an elite front seven going against Brady in that offense. And it doesn't matter. And the best part about this, Kevin, is it's still Brady. He's healthy. It's still the three top wide receivers that you go, wow, Evans, Godwin, and Julio, you can't stop that three. Yeah, well, if you only get 1 second to throw the football, I don't care who your wide receivers are at this point here. But moving forward, I don't trust it. Even on Twitter yesterday, I put this out. Obviously, being an Eagles fan, looking towards the playoffs, people say, hey, man, I guess you want to face, man. You never know. Brady in the playoffs. No. If there's any football team that makes the playoffs, you should cheer. Like, if you are a team that's not going to win your division, a la the Dallas Cowboys, and you got to go on the road and you get the Buccaneers, you're going, boom, who are we playing the next week? Because we're going to be able to smoke this team.
And we'll get to the Dallas Cowboys in just a minute. But on the San Francisco 49ers side of this whole thing, so the Niners' price in the market, and you have when you have to list the reasons as to why they were starting to approach NFC favorites, flirting with jumping the Philadelphia Eagles, who have just won loss this season. Jimmy Garoppolo would have been reason number what? 9, 10? It just feels like you would have listed basically all 11 starters, it feels like. Kyle Shanahan, Debo, Kittle, CMC. Well, all of that's true, right? All of that is still there, we think. They're injured. But all of that is mostly still there. It's what makes the Niners so fascinating right now and what makes this Brock Purdy evaluation a bit difficult but so incredibly important is the honest observer does not believe Jimmy Garoppolo is the end-all, be-all of this football team. But also, they, before this game, were 9-29 when Jimmy Garoppolo was not their starting quarterback. So there was a lot of reason to have doubts around the San Francisco 49ers. They've got a pretty good test in a divisional road spot coming up against the Seattle Seahawks. They are going to be decent favorites, though, against the Commanders, even in Vegas, and likely home against Arizona. That's okay. I'm fine with trying to evaluate Purdy even against bad football teams. Because I think if I would have told you, hey, the Niners quarterback was the last pick of the NFL draft, right? You wouldn't trust him against any of the other 31 teams. But Brock Purdy, for the second week in a row, was definitely good enough for the San Francisco 49ers.
6 wins in a row now at this point here, and it almost looks like plug and play, which just goes to show you, like, can we even take a step back here on Jimmy Garoppolo? Remember what a big win it was there from national media? Woo! They got this guy back. Well, Brock Purdy's just actually showing you that Jimmy Garoppolo is an absolute placeholder. So some PSA here for the next team in the offseason that says Jimmy Garoppolo could be the missing piece. Looks like he's just your pedestrian average quarterback out there because Brock Purdy is slicing and dicing everybody here. Doesn't put a good showing here on Garoppolo's actual value to the Niners as it is.
But, oh, also, just because I know you'll appreciate this, man, it is a shame the Niners got fleeced, though, in the Christian McCaffrey trade. What an awful scene, you know what I mean? 14 carries, 119 yards, and a touchdown against the run defense that was absolutely knocking everyone's head off. Oh, and then, by the way, a 27-yard receiving touchdown as well.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get into it because the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys had very different looking games yesterday. But we begin with the Dallas Cowboys. 27-23, they beat the Houston Texans. I loved the post-game questions that Zeke had on the field. They asked him, they said, hey, every game's different. Why was this win today so difficult here for you guys against the Houston Texans? And Zeke says, hey, man, it's a really good football team over there. And I was like, he didn't just say that. And then he goes on to say, look, man, whenever you play a pro team, you know it's going to be tough. Today was tough. They battled, but we were able to find a way. It does serve as a reminder. It is a pro football team. This game here by the Texans will be used for anybody that happens to still be debating how the Texans would fare against the Georgia Bulldogs this season by chance. But at the end of the day, there is no excuse for this performance from the Dallas Cowboys. You are a 17.5 point favorite. Just to give people an idea, they were the third team this season to lay over 2 touchdowns, the biggest favorite that we've seen this year. The Chiefs laid 16.5 to the Rams and Perkins, and that game was over immediately. You cannot convince me the Rams ever crossed midfield, even though they scored a touchdown, and it was a 26-10 final score. And then the Dolphins laid 14.5 to Kyle Allen and the Texans, and the game was 30-0 at the half, and they benched Tua like it was a college football game. The Dallas Cowboys, as a 17.5 point favorite, had to go on a big drive that people are now trying to say, wow, look at Dak, he had a heck of a performance. This, there is no other way to label this performance from the Dallas Cowboys, Donnie, as anything other than disappointing and concerning.
Yeah, it was disappointing and concerning. Let's also keep in mind that you had the Houston Texans at home, and also the Houston Texans, if they had any chance, right, would have needed to probably lean on their 2 top wide receivers, who, oh yeah, didn't even lace them up for this game. And how about on a pivotal point late in the game where Dak Prescott threw a horrendous interception with about 5 minutes to go? Would have been nice on 3rd and goal from the 1-foot yard line to have Dameon Pierce. Yeah, by the way, he was injured as well after already getting 78 yards and a touchdown up to that point here. So a lot of breaks went the Dallas Cowboys way in that game, but also it was a very nice 98-yard touchdown drive. But having said that, overall, these are supposed to be the games where the Dallas Cowboys are getting coronations, right? 56-10, 56-24, like the way they beat the Bears. That's how you felt this game was going to go. And I was shocked that it was as competitive all the way through, because the only thing we've been hearing about, oh boy, the most talented team now in the NFC, even though they have 3 losses, is the Dallas Cowboys and not the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, granted, now the Dallas Cowboys are a confident team. They are a very good team overall with the way that they have their depth. But having said that, that just goes to show you. And again, forget about any given Sunday. We're talking about the Texans here. The 1-10-1 Texans coming into this ballgame that actually look like the more quality team. And they even used Mills and Driscoll. How about that at this point here? That was a tough game for the Cowboys. Now, a win is a win, as we like to say. But boy, oh boy, sometimes look at Mike McCarthy on that sideline and be like, man, what are you doing with these guys?
Ah, big Mike McCarthy. We've not heard that name in a while. Mike McCarthy has not. You know how we, like, like, I feel like you ask a lot of people who's the Dallas Cowboys head coach, and you don't get as confident answers as you usually would. Like, we've not been hearing Mike McCarthy's name for quite a while. But here's my thing with the Dallas Cowboys is this is a team that has the ability to beat every single team in the NFL. In any setting, they can beat the Eagles, they could beat the Bills, they could beat the Chiefs, they literally beat the Cincinnati Bengals with Cooper Rush, though it was a different time, but it is on the resume. The Dallas Cowboys can beat every team in the NFL. Their ceiling is phenomenal. The 40-3 against Minnesota, as much as Minnesota is a fraud, is still one of the most impressive performances anybody has put forward this year. However, to your point about teams wanting to play the Niners, or excuse me, playing the Bucks in the opening round of the playoffs. Do you know who Tampa Bay wants to play? Dallas. Because this is what Dallas does. The Dallas Cowboys have this unbelievable ceiling, but boy, do they know how to find that floor. Boy, does Dak Prescott know how to throw an interception that'll change a football game. He's now thrown 9 picks in 8 games this season. He's thrown 5 picks in the last 3 weeks of football. And these are in games that they're winning, by the way, controlling. Last year, do not forget, home division winner Jimmy Garoppolo in their building outplayed Dak Prescott in the playoffs, eliminated in the first round. The Dallas Cowboys floor is a disaster, as you saw here against the Houston Texans. I mean, they allowed the Green Bay Packers and that lifeless group to put up 31 and beat them in massive comeback fashion. I'm just saying, when you look at the Dallas Cowboys DRS, they feel like the one team that actually could stoop down to the Buccaneers level and find themselves losing that game 17-13 in the heart of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it'll be a pretty tough sell here, because if anybody just even has a heartbeat on the defensive line, you can sack Tom Brady. But how about yesterday? The Texans, no sacks given up on offense against that pass rush. That was pretty impressive as well. That's always going to keep you in there. But also, just from a Dak Prescott standpoint here, you got to be better than that. You have two capable running backs, a good offensive line, and a plethora of wide receivers. Now, last week, we were grandstanding around saying OBJ is the missing piece. I didn't watch that game going, oh, man, if they had OBJ, they would have won that game. I'm watching that game going, hey, Dak, you got to be able to deliver the football in more of a timely fashion. And also some of the things that we don't talk about, Kevin. We talk about there was a lot of wide receiver movement last year. Now, the trades that we bring up were huge. The Tyreek Hills, the A.J. Browns, the Devontae Adams. But how about the trade that wasn't really a trade? Where, hey, you know, we just can't afford, you know, Amari Cooper anymore. Let's just ship him out of town. It'd be nice to have Amari Cooper back on your sideline at this point here, because CeeDee Lamb is the number one yesterday. 5 catches, 33 yards against that defense here. You got to be better. And overall, the one thing I'm going to leave you with this here, Kevin, is if you want touchdown props here, Ezekiel Elliott, if it's not shown that Jerry Jones forces the football to this guy and he will make sure he scores, what a wonderful thing when you can get 50,000 red zone carries that are undeserved and finally cash it in at the end of the game. Wonderful stuff by the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I guess that's all that really matters at the end of the day. Going over to the Philadelphia Eagles. Folks, I know the Giants are bad, right? The difference between the Giants and the Vikings is nobody tried to sell you on the Giants as a contender, right? So we don't need to have to run around and call them frauds. However, the Giants found themselves in a spot that every team has enjoyed this year. A touchdown home underdog. I mean, they have been almost unstoppable. In fact, I believe before this game, the only team that was a touchdown dog in their own building to not cover the number was the Texans last week against the Cleveland Browns. And all that took was three special teams slash defensive touchdowns. And then the Philadelphia Eagles rock up to the Meadowlands and hang 48 on the New York Giants. Earned all of those 48 points. Jalen Hurts unstoppable from the word go. This game over almost immediately. 24 points in the first half. They scored a touchdown in every single quarter. There's only two teams that have scored 40 this season against a divisional opponent. The Eagles were the first to do it on the road this season. This is not a performance that you leave by going, oh, come on, it's the Giants. They just beat the Giants by 26 points on the road, scoring 48 with one of the top two MVP candidates. Save yourself the embarrassment. Stop saying, who have they played? And actually look at what you are watching. The Philadelphia Eagles are 12-1. They do not need to be your Super Bowl pick. But please, stop telling me who have they played as you run to slap the Dallas Cowboys in front of them in your NFC power ranking. The Philadelphia Eagles are that good. No worse than one of the four best teams in football. And in these eyes, Donnie, the very best team in the National Football League.
Yes, and these are the ones that we like, right? We could check all the boxes. They don't play anybody. Well, the Giants were actually 7-4-1 at home yesterday, and they slaughtered them. Ha ha! Man, dude, you figured the Eagles out at the half. They don't even score in the second half. They dropped 24 points yesterday in the second half with a lot of running the football with Miles Sanders and Boston Scott here. Oh, boy, but you get to the playoffs, man. you got to be able to stop the run. Last week, Derrick Henry was a pedestrian. This week, Saquon Barkley had 9 carries for 28 yards. Every week, they're telling the Philadelphia Eagles what they can and can't do, and every week they do the same thing, which I was like, too. Hey, it's hard to win on the football games on the road, Kevin. Not just what happens, the Eagles are 6-0 on the road this year. But also, having said that, like, moving forward, what can they get? They beat you new way each week. Like, Jalen Hurts is making phenomenal throws, 21 of 31, 217. Let's remember also, it was cold, it was rainy in the Meadowlands yesterday. It didn't matter. They walked this football up and down the field against a desperate football team trying to make it into the playoffs. And also, when you look at the Eagles 12-1, who have they played? They haven't played anybody. Let's play this out. The Eagles are 1-12 on the season. You know, people probably say, man, look at all the wins that the other teams have, man. What did you want the Eagles to do? It's that way. There's never anything, who have you played? The reason why we say who have they played and they haven't played anybody is because the Eagles beat them all and hang a loss on their record, so they were worse for the wear once you get done with them. Philadelphia Eagles are a pretty good ball club. They showed that yesterday in another easy victory in the NFC East. And before we put this game to bed here, the Giants are too good for themselves this year, Kevin. You know what the shame of this is? And you've heard me say this from day one and forever. Daniel Jones is a fullback playing quarterback. He is a terrible quarterback, but he was enough to get you 7, maybe 8 wins on the season. What are you going to do next year? You can't draft a quarterback. You're going to have to go in the free agent market here. Or if anybody in the NFC would love it, an extension for Daniel Jones. Dable's not that stupid. No. They'll move on from Daniel Jones. But what a shame. He did such a good job coaching this team. He actually hurt them for their future.
Look, at the end of the day, I disagree. I think it's good to win games. I think it's good to establish the fact that they've got themselves their head coach. There's other pieces to be encouraged about. I refuse to acknowledge an idea that the Texans are having a better season than the New York Giants.
Yes, much better.
But to get back to the... that's crazy. And people think that, that's just such a ridiculous thing. But nevertheless, the Philadelphia Eagles ran for over 250 yards on this game, over 8 yards per carry. Only team to do that this season. And it's their second best rushing performance in the last 3 weeks because they put up 363 yards on the Green Bay Packers. They're averaging 41 points per game over their last 3 games. The Eagles went to the Texans, beat them by 12. People are like, ooh, a little concern there. They get jobbed by whatever. They lose to the Commanders on Monday night, and then everybody gets real excited with their I told you so's. They have a late drive against the Indianapolis Colts, and that further confirms to people that the Eagles are playing terrible football. Again, this is a 3-week window where they went 2-1. And all they've done since then is average 41 points per game, and Jalen Hurts has looked absolutely unstoppable. Stop telling me that they've not played anybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here, closing out hour number one. Wanted to mention a little bit of the NBA action that we saw yesterday. Last night, Joel Embiid goes for 50-plus for the second time this season. 53 points, added 12 rebounds along the way in a 131-113 win over the Charlotte Hornets. Good stuff as well from Harden, who was a rebound shy of a triple-double. But DRS, I do think Joel Embiid is quietly keeping his name in the MVP race. Currently doesn't qualify for the NBA scoreboard or scoring leader, I should say, but he would be tops on the list, 33.4 points per game. Joel Embiid might be playing better basketball than he did last season.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible here, the maturation here of Joel Embiid, which is one of those guys that couldn't stay healthy and all of a sudden is healthy enough to be dropping 50-plus point games as a center. It's a shame because when you're getting these outcomes here, Joel Embiid sometimes deserves better than what the other players around him are giving him, and particularly in his head coach, Kevin, Friday night's game against the Los Angeles Lakers. You're up by like a dozen, like 2 minutes to go, and you probably should have lost the game because I don't know what Doc Rivers does down the stretch. Yesterday, they had a blowout lead there, and the Hornets closed within, 5 or 6 points in the fourth quarter there. So it is what it is. But Joel Embiid putting up 53-12 is just crazy numbers as he now sits 12-1 here, Kevin, at the FanDuel Sportsbook in the MVP market.
Yeah, again, he has been phenomenal this year. Sixers are going to have to be better. He's going to have to be available, but I do think he's going to be in the mix. By the way, AD also continued his dominance last night in a win over Detroit, 34-15-7. Also, LeBron scored 35 in that basketball game. Pels beat the Suns in OT. They are now top of the West there. Suns falling a little bit. They've been playing some poor basketball. I think maybe the best game on tonight's NBA slate would be late night Clippers-Celtics if you're looking to get involved there. It's a 3.5-point line. Look, the Clips have been home dogs a couple of times, but rarely with their full squad available. It looks like Kawhi and PG will play. We'll see how that changes things here tonight against the Celtics team that's looking to bounce back.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp. I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino, social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.